Start over about 50 times, probably be 50 more for him then.
Amen.
Thank you for your passion anyway.
Thank you, Gary. God bless you. Yeah, that's terrible. I'll take another 5 or 6 hours of it. I could probably endure. You've written more songs than anybody I know. Sung to more people than anybody I've ever met. And you're weird. And I love you. We have such a brotherhood, Gary and I. If you don't understand weird, don't try to correct it, would you? And if you do, shame on you. I heard that Larry got an ugly Gary. Is it Larry or Gary? I heard that Gary got an ugly letter one time from someone. I thought, you know what? What business is that as anyone to get into somebody else's business when you have been called by God the way you have? Stay in your own house, amen? How sad. That's not spiritual. That's called busybody. Am I done preaching or just starting? I got right past the meddling and got into the preaching, didn't I? I don't believe we have time to mess around with lightweight stuff in Christendom today. I think it's time for us to grow past the first grade on into elementary school, into high school, on into graduate school. Amen? And I'm not talking about just academia in regard to being involved in school. I think that's wonderful and I support that strongly. My life has supported that. But I believe it's time for the simplicity of the Word of God to be taken in the hearts of believers and for Christians to stand on this Word and to put it to action in their life and see God do things that's supernatural at their request. Do you believe that? And we're not going to do that with dancing around the issues of sin. We're not going to do that with living a life that's semi-righteous or self-righteous. We're not going to do that by taking care of other people's problems. We're going to do that by consecrating ourselves to God. The story this morning talks in large in Exodus chapter 3 about a man who consecrated himself in large to God by the name of Moses. He was the son of Pharaoh by accident when his mother hid him in the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter found him by providence of God and help from his sister, and then his mother was allowed to raise him in Pharaoh's house. He was a prince of Egypt. He learned it all. He knew it all. One day, it wasn't enough to have the fame and fortune. It wasn't enough to have the notoriety. One day, he was out walking and he saw one of his fellow Israelites being abused by an Egyptian. And that's when he drew the bloodline. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The bloodline's still intact. The bloodline started with Abraham and the covenant of Abraham, and it went to Isaac. And from Isaac, Jacob. And from Jacob, Joseph. And from Joseph, David. And from David, Jesus. Many in between. But it's a bloodline. And I'm going to tell you something about your relationship with the person sitting next to you or across the aisle from you. You may or may not have the same blood type or the same genetic composition of a family member, But you have a bloodline that's far more reaching than that as a child of God. The bloodline came when Jesus died on Calvary and shed his blood for you, and you chose to take the blood of Jesus, which was the only possible escape that you have against the eternity Satan has planned for you. And when you chose the bloodline, it was not an escape route as a cowardice, white flag waving, I'm going to survive. When you took the bloodline, you took the victorious banner of God and waved it over you and said that I am now a child of the King. And I have the power of God through the virtue, by the virtue of the blood of Jesus. And listen to me. When you accepted that eternal salvation in your life, that saving grace that came through the bloodline of Jesus Christ, if you think that that was just for you and your package to have, you're as misunderstanding of this word as it can possibly have. This makes you part of a family. And the bloodline that you have in you that flows from Emmanuel's veins are not just a private little stamp like a passport that gets you in and out of heaven. It is a bloodline that says that I have a kindred spirit and a family relationship with everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. So let me just tell you, just because other churches or other people just don't believe exactly the way you do, if they call on the name of Jesus and believe that he, through immaculate conception, was born the sinless Son of God to a virgin and lived a sinless life and died on the cross and rose on the third day, and he is God and beside him there is none other. If a church preaches that, then get off your little picky critical spirit, because they don't believe what you do. They're family. I think a lot of people are critical of other churches and denominations, and we even have a sense of spiritual hierarchy because we're Pentecost and we think that we've reached the pinnacle of what God has for us. But let me explain something to you. There's a message to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that says this, that it doesn't matter if you speak with the tongue of men and angels, if you don't have love for the other family members and people around you, you're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. I'm going to tell you what you are. You're a fraud. And the word of God's not in you. So when you get up tomorrow morning, I want you all to put your hand up like this. I'm helping you here. And I want you to take your opinion and go put it somewhere safe and lock it up. And then do this. This is a Greek term and it's hard to kind of understand. It's hard to comprehend. It's just two short words. It's called shut up. And shut up. I'm telling you what will make you a happier child of God. If you'll get rid of your opinion and you shut up and you start serving God as your Lord and Savior and Director and Guide and Redeemer and start loving your family members, you're going to be powerful in the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, it takes some training for you to get there. And Moses went through it exactly the way we do, many times, just backward as you can. He thought that when he saw this Egyptian fighting with this Israelite, he realized that the Egyptian wasn't his blood. He just happened to live there. He was adopted like you're adopted by the world. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come to Jesus Christ, your bloodline is from the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And when he realized that where his true loyalties laid, he tried to fix it in his own way. You don't do that. Thank you, Dr. Brown. I got a And in him, that's pretty big. Quit straightening people out. Stop it. Pastor, I thought you were going to preach this morning. Some of the best preaching I've ever done just happened. Listen to me. Understand that it's not your duty to fix what the world has broken. It's your duty to be a child of God and love the family of God and lead people that aren't part of the family of God into the family of God. And past that, if you take any responsibility after that, I just want to tell you this, that every word that comes out of your mouth will be held in accountability to God, every word. So that shortens my vocabulary immensely right there. If you come to me and say, what do you think about this person or about that person? I'm probably going to have a very, very short answer to you. Why? Not because I'm mad at you or I'm self-righteous. It's just that's not my job. Now, if they're dangerous, I'll say they're dangerous. If they're healthy, I'll say they're healthy. That's about it. Moses tried to help Israel by killing an Egyptian. When he did, what happened was the law of the land turned on him. It didn't matter if he was Pharaoh's son. They went after him, put a poster in the post office, and he hit the backwoods. And for 40 years, my friends, 40 years, four decades, he herded sheep on the backside of the desert. Think about it. And he's back there herding sheep. And in that 40 years, he's getting a perspective of who he is with God. And he doesn't have anything else to do except ponder his relationship with God in his past and what all that God had brought him through. The Bible says that in Exodus chapter 3, now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to a far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, Horeb is another name for Sinai. That's where the Ten Commandments were given. So he was standing on holy ground already. He was standing in a place where God was going to give him the Mosaic Law, incredible word for Israel to be led on. That would be the covenant that carried them to the coming of Jesus Christ for the first time. And the Bible says that while he was there, that this bush became inflamed in chapter 3, and Moses thought, I'll go over and see where this strange, what this strange sight is and why this bush isn't burning up. And so in chapter 3, verse 4, he went over and he heard a voice come out of it. Moses, Moses. Well, I don't know about you, but when you start hearing noises coming out of burning trees and there's nobody else around there with you, that's weird, isn't it? And Moses said, here am I. He answered it. And he said, don't come any closer, but I want you to take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. Now listen to me. There's just about three subtle points I want to make this morning, and then we're going to have a prayer time this morning that's going to unleash some of you this morning. I have had every opportunity not to be here this morning. The devil's made every exit door available to me that you can make. He's done all that he wants to do, and I know that God has sent me with a word for you this morning. The word of the message is this. The title of the message is this. He's still the I am. How many believe he's still the I am? And when he walked up to that bush, he asked him, they talked, and he said, I'm going to send you to Israel, where you tried to do it, and I'm going to have you be the Redeemer of Israel. You're standing in a place of holy ground. Now listen to this. Prior to Moses having any idea, because God is futuristic, not only was Horeb going to be a special place in the fact that that is where the burning bush took place, but it's special in the fact that that is where the Ten Commandments were given and all the great things that happened on the mountain of God occurred there at Mount Horeb. And so Moses as he's standing there not knowing the future, doesn't understand that God has pre-prepared a place for him to come that was holy. When he came, it didn't make it holy. It was pre-prepared. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'll stand on this with every inch of strength I have in my body, that this morning, your coming here is a pre-prepared place of holiness before God, that you're going to see God do what you haven't seen him do in the past. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
So I want you to start believing for the impossible as I preach. I want you to start digging down inside for the things that you've walked up here time after time after time. And Pastor, they all know that I've come up here so many times, or I've come up here for this and I haven't seen any changes. My friends, persistence is a character trait of a child of God. Just keep trying, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. But God goes before you and he makes and prepares a place of holiness for you. And I promise you this morning by the word, if you'll just have enough faith to respond, God has gone before you this morning. So the Bible says that he spoke to him and told him that he wanted him to lead the children of Israel. And Moses said this when he was talking to God. He said, when I say to the Israel, suppose I go to the Israelites, chapter 3, verse 13 of Exodus, I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you're to say. First thing you have to do is speak his name. Amen? Go and speak his name to the Israelites. I am sent me to you, is what you're supposed to say. Here's why I can unconfuse you about God's name. Why did he choose I am? For an exhausted number of reasons, but one is, when God was, there was no other. It's simple. If there's one guy on earth and his name's Bob, you don't ask him, how'd you get your name? It's Bob. It's always been Bob. It's going to be Bob when you're gone. Bob before you got here. It's Bob, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, this is just affirmation that God is God and there was no other God before him, during his time now or after him. He alone is God. And he is not only God in existence, he is the I am in all circumstances. That's why I say he is the omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent everywhere God. He is the I am of your life this morning. And so he said, I want you to go and tell them I am sent me. So Moses did, and if you're familiar with the story, there was an enormous chain of events that took place. Finally, the children of Israel were freed after the last of the plagues of 10. The death angel came over Egypt. Israel was freed by Pharaoh after multitudes of horrendous signs from God. And finally, he got his attention. And they let them go, and the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 5, when the king of Israel was told that the children of Israel, the people of, had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind. That's one of the greatest downfalls of the devil. He changes his mind. God's mind is steady. Amen. Changed his mind. And he said about them, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and we've lost their service. So he got all of his army. You see, let me explain something to you. in this place. You're part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You're an heir to salvation. You're an heir to the promises of God. And you're an heir to the ability to call on God and have Him answer. And in your life right now, as you stand before God and can go before God, Satan has no choice when you call on Jesus to free you. And I don't care what it is he's trying to hold captive in your life this morning, and some of you are here this morning that Satan has tried to go into your life, and he has bondage, he has strongholds that he's holding in your life right now, areas in your life that you know you're struggling with. Am I true? Is this true or not? Say amen if it's true. And you say, Father God, I'm struggling with this, and I know this is coming against me, and I know that I'm having problems with this, but God, I know that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? And so understanding that when Satan has to let you go by the blood of Jesus, once you're gone, he is going to try to recapture areas of your life. And if he can bring you into captivity in one area, he can drag you back into total captivity. So what you have to understand is that God set you free to be free. Say it with me. God set me free to be free. Say it again. God set me free to be free. That's according to the word of God. And Satan's going to try to come after you. So Pharaoh gets all of his armies and comes after them. And when he does, the children of Israel see them coming, and they're at the Red Sea. There's Pharaoh behind them. There's a Red Sea in front of them. And I hear preachers that preach that, and they completely forget to preach about the cloud that's over them. What I tell you when I first walked up here this morning? Look up. Didn't I? Let me ask you something. How many of you have clouds down around your feet? If you do, call me. I'll help you. I'll do something for you. I'll pray for you. Clouds are not down around our feet. Clouds are up here, aren't they? God was in the cloud, the Word of God said. He said that the cloud was above them, and it was a heat by night and cool by day. And we keep talking about the two things that we have, the two negative things. We got Pharaoh behind us and the Red Sea in front of us. My friends, listen to me. If you'd quit looking in front of you and trying to figure out the front and quit looking behind you and consider the threat of your past and start looking up to the God that's present, things are going to change in your life. They're going to change. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes lifted up toward Him. He is still the I Am. He hasn't changed from generation to generation, nor will He change. Now listen. The Bible says that Moses comes to God and he says, oh, what do I do? And the Bible says that the Lord told him just to do what I told you to do. Then Moses, in chapter 14, verse 13, answered the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The children of Israel, you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you and you will only be still. All right, listen. Just a second. Come here, Ron. Hurry. Come here, Red. Come here, Donnie. Hurry. Come here, Todd. I need a big army. Hurry, 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 hurry. All right. Stand right here. Here's the Red Sea. See? Red. Here's the children of Israel. Here's the bad boys. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the good boys acting bad. Now, let me ask you something. These guys have got swords and knives, and they're hot on your trail, and a Red Sea's in front of you, and incredibly deep, and you can't get millions of people through there. And some preacher walks up to you and says, don't worry, just stand firm for God. And Redneckers goes, right. Because it's hard to visualize, and we don't have to visualize with God, but it's hard sometimes for us to understand that God is so concerned about us that he would do something so supernatural that's so impossible. I mean, if you're dead, you won't know about what happened, you know, and nobody else will write the story if it kill you. If it kills you. But here they were. Here's Pharaoh. Here's the Red Sea. And here's the children of Israel. And this one preacher walks up to him and he said, look, I'm telling you this, stand firm and believe God. Look up and trust him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning in about 5 minutes. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to stand firm. And I want you to understand the Red Sea's in front of you. I know that. God knows that. And I want you to know that the Pharaoh's army, the Egyptians, are behind you. I want you to understand that I know and God knows that you're standing in the place of the children of Israel that's just trying to follow God. Some of them were so confused, they know what to think. One day we're in Goshen, which was absolutely beautiful farm country. And the next day we're walking out here in the middle of the desert and God has some way provided for us. We don't even know how. I don't even know how we did it. But God's provided. And now it's come down to this. The Bible says that he said, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you. You see, I believe that God's brought you here this morning. And let me just tell you, if you think everybody in Israel had a little quote that they quoted from Moses and all stood up there and going, yay, Moses, we love you, and we made our faith pledge, and we made our pay our tithes, and we paid our offering, and we did all that, and bless God, we love you, Moses, we believe you're called of God. These people are going, get me back to Egypt. At least we had a place that was shady and cool. But God said, no, I've got a land for you that's going to be a nation, and you've got to go through the desert to get there. If you're willing to go through the desert and know that God will take care of your sandals, and that 40 years, your shoes won't even wear out. And if you, God's a sustaining God, and he'll take care of every need you have. And it doesn't matter what's in front of you or what's behind you. God is still the I am. Amen? He's still the I am. Word of God says that Moses did exactly what God told him to do. And he waved over, he stretched his hand, chapter 14, verse 21, over the sea. And all that night, God drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. Everybody say dry ground. With a wall of water on their right and on their left. Everybody say air conditioning. I'm serious. I'm not overdoing it. A pleasant place for you to go to see deliverance. The Egyptians pursued them. And all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea during the last watch of the night. And the Lord looked down. Where'd the Lord look from? He was above looking down. Everybody look up right now. Look up. Keep your eye on God. Amen. He looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptians' army, and he drew it into confusion. He put the army of Pharaoh into confusion. The thing that Satan has sicked on you is going to go into utter confusion this morning. Listen to me. It's going to go in confusion. And during the last watch, boy, isn't that when God does it a lot of times, of the night, the Lord looked down with a pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made their wheels fall off, their chariots come off, that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. First smart thing they said. Funniest story I ever heard in my life was when Johnny Carson was on television. He was talking about the six-day war with Israel and Egypt. And he said the biggest mistake that Egypt did was buy 5,000 tanks from Russia without reverse gear. That's true. I'm telling you, he's still the I Am. In 1967, when they attacked Israel, he's the I Am. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, he was fulfilling his promise. And in 2009, on this day in June, he is the I Am in your life. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, as a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet insisted, of getting better, she grew worse. Instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in a crowd, persistence, and touched his cloak. Amen? This is Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Why? Because this woman knew that he's still the I Am. She touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt her body, that it was free from her suffering. Just like Israel was free from Egypt, just like you will be free from the antagonism and the threat of the enemy that's harassing you this morning, you're about to see a supernatural act of God that's going to show you in your personal life that he is still the I Am. See, I'm convinced that when Jesus came to Jericho with his disciples together with him in a large crowd, and they were leaving that city, that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting on the roadside and he was begging because one reason, not a lack of faith. And I'm just like Bartimaeus. He wasn't sitting there begging because of a lack of faith. He wasn't begging because it wasn't that he didn't trust in God to do it. He just hadn't met a man that had the spiritual guts to use the Word of God and apply the Word of God yet. And when the Son of David came by, he knew that Jesus knew something about relationship with the Almighty. And he cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And all three of the Synoptic Gospels, you see where this man cried out to Jesus, and Jesus said, come up here. Now let me tell you what he did. When the Bible says that when Jesus called him, the people said, come on, he's calling you. He threw off his cloak, his badge, he threw off his sign, he threw off the symbol of blindness and got up and started walking toward the pre-prepared holy spot that God had for him. That was his Horeb. That was his Sinai. And my friends, listen to me this morning. I could care less, and I don't mean that disrespectful. I'm saying this to you with deep respect and love. But it doesn't matter if you've been here 60 or 70 times to the front. Keep coming. But today, God's saying the enemy's behind, the block is in front, but look up. I have pre-prepared a place for you, and whatever you need, and when you call on me, I'm going to answer you. And this morning, you're going to be set free in the name of Jesus. Well, Pastor, I didn't come. I wasn't prepared spiritually. Call me when you figure out how to do that. And write it down, and let's put it in the recipe book back there with the church recipe. If you love Jesus, and you've been saved by His precious blood, and you're serving Him this morning, you're as prepared as you'll ever be. Trust Him, rely on Him, live in His Word. You see, your action to come is required for the I Am to move in your life this morning. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want to break this. I want to break this, not that we have it, but I don't ever want us to get it. I want to break this idea of, well, this Sunday we're going to have baptism and dinner on the ground, so pastor's going to come and preach us a real message, but as soon as we can get out of here. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if I'm here till 5 o'clock. I'd rather be here with the move of the Holy Ghost than I would at the biggest picnic in the United States. And I don't prepare my messages for the convenience of anything. I let the Holy Ghost prepare the time. Amen. And if you're here this morning, and if those of you that are here this morning that know exactly what I'm talking about, it might be like the little lady. It might be like Bartimaeus. It might be that you've tried everything over and over and over and over, and everyone knows it. It might be that you're sitting there, no one, you think God even isn't paying attention to you, but you hear something that grabs your heart. It can be your home. It can be your business. It can be your health. It can be your marriage. It can be your children. It can be your finances. It can be your job. It can be anything. Anything I haven't mentioned doesn't matter. When the enemies come after you, this morning, God has pre-prepared a place of holiness for you. And I'm going to ask you to do this right now. I'm not going to give you anything you won't live through. You might have I've got 103 degree temperature. So you say, well, Pastor, I don't want to get near you. The Holy Ghost will protect you. Dr. Brown's going to come. So I'm going to pray for you. Don't worry about that. I want you to get up out of your chair. Because I knew how important this message was this morning. Pastors, I want the pastors to come with me up here. I want you to get up out of your chair, and I want to form a line right here, right now. Get behind the blue line so we have plenty of places for you to pray. And I'm going to anoint you. Now listen, here's what I want you to do. After I pray for you, I want you to move over that way as far as you can. And there's no, look at me. Let me explain something to you. There's no recipe to this. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray together. I'm going to anoint you. And I want you, we're going to move you down to the end. And I want you to continue to lift your heart to the Lord right now.